Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast Trade Line Deadline Special. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today, host of the Weird Al pregame show, our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
What's up, guys?
Come on, you gotta bring the energy. Today's a big day.
I got my vaccine today. I'm a little drowsy. I'm a little sluggish here.
Congratulations. Oh, wait, you got the vaccine?
I got my first shot today. So
I'm waiting for my Publix vaccine to kick in. Chat here on twitch.tv/miheatbeat. If you are a podcast listener and you would like to watch this podcast live, if you are a longtime listener from way back in 2013, wow, we've been around a while, and you want to like see our faces and get involved with the chat, come to twitch.tv/miheatbeat, hit the follow button so you can know when we go live. We go live every pregame show. Jack, your host, pregame show, the Weird Al pregame show, postgame with Hangover Time, your Heat Twitter president, Alf954, and then the podcast with yours truly. So get involved on Twitch, get involved on our Patreon. We have lots of cool stuff on patreon.com/miheatbeat. We have some extra content. We have some kind of some access type stuff, some interactive stuff, all this stuff. Cool stuff. All right. So the reason why we're here is because we do podcasts on off days, and because there's a lot of Lowry hubbub, Jack. There's a lot going on, and I promise some breaking news. So I'm gonna give that to the audience right now. So I'm hearing, and I've talked, and I've tried to do my due diligence. You know, I went to journalism school. I know how this works. And I said a couple podcasts ago that, you know, the Cavs were involved. I said watch out for Cleveland as a third team. There's something there. The teams are talking, and Cleveland as a third team was involved, at least in kind of cursory talks. And I was told by someone who I trust that is not connected with the Heat or the Raptors that, you know, the Warriors have also gotten involved as a fourth team. Now, that makes sense for a lot of reasons, because the Cavs and the Raptors don't have much utility for Olynyk. But the Warriors would. And the Warriors also, I saw in this deal, they would get Seti Osman. So that is something to watch out on if the Warriors are a fourth team. That also helps because Miami wants to keep Andre Iguodala in this deal. And I know our friends over at Five Reasons Sports, who have done a great job reporting on this up and down, have said that, you know, the Heat want to keep Andre. Follow Leif's reporting at Greg Sylvander. That's the homie. That's the brother. So Andre, the Heat want to keep Andre. It makes sense. The Cavs in potentially on a bigger deal, and the Warriors potentially in on a bigger deal. And I think, Jack, the Warriors stuff is interesting because it makes sense to send Olynyk there. It greases the wheels for a move without having to give up Andre, because you need to get to the $24 million. And yep. It makes it easier. The Warriors as the fourth team makes it easier. Shout out to Clutch Adam in the chat also who's reporting lots on this story, and Ethan Skolnick as well. I want to properly credit everybody. But that's what I heard this morning. It makes a lot of sense. I actually love Olynyk in Golden State. Now, I have not been told Olynyk's name specifically. That is me. That is conjecture. That is me connecting dots that if the Warriors are involved, I was like, oh, okay. Seti Osman, Olynyk makes a lot of sense. Maybe they can get off Kelly Oubre, send him to Cleveland. That would be nice. No, chat saying Oubre to Miami. No, I think that would be a kind of a Cleveland move, gives him a wing and everything. Jack, I think that was interesting. I thought that was something that actually really helps the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, like trading for Lowry or just getting another
just
team
like
involved?
Getting another team involved because discussions. No one's stuck with just a Kelly Olynyk contract that's going to expire. Somebody can actually use it and it, you know.
Yeah. Somebody said r/Heat hates Five Reasons. r/Heat
people
sucks,
are stupid.
Man.
r/Heat, Reddit sucks. I'm sorry, Reddit sucks.
I thought I was
Twitter
Wes
sucks.
Goldberg, which is the nicest thing anybody said about me. But like, if you confuse me with Wes Goldberg, you have something wrong with you. So fuck r/Heat. Five Reasons does really good reporting.
They're awesome.
Enough said on that. I think anytime you get another team involved, especially with Miami's situation, because they've got kind of a weird cap situation, they've got a weird asset situation. there's a lot of situations going on with the Heat, but they don't have the most flexible situation right now.
Shout out to John Crotty.
Shout out to John Crotty. They're not the most flexible team right now. So anytime you can get like a Cleveland or the Warriors, who are both, I guess, looking to maneuver a little bit. And I think Kelly would do really well in Golden State. Like, I do think, like, next to Wiseman, he'd look really good. Obviously, next to Steph, he'd look a lot better. He would immediately start shooting really well.
He could play next to Draymond really easy.
Yeah. He's a really good player, and I would like to keep him. I think we've talked about wanting to keep him, but it doesn't seem like there's any situation, where they keep him.
I do the same, man. Whenever I say anything in situation, I think of Heat's color commentator, John Crotty. I'm with you, dude. That always happens to me. I don't know. I I've seen versions where McGee gets sent to Miami, but as people have pointed out, you know, that kind of puts him in the tax. But you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is obviously going to be in play as their backup five. I read today that he would expect to start, which I guess makes sense. If you move Olynyk, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, another part of the when I was talking to this person, they you know, like, we were kind of like, okay, well, Olynyk's gone, you know.
You want to repeat Precious, the news for people who just joined?
People in the chat that just got here that are asking if we break the news. Everyone's asking in chat, is the breaking news situation? I heard this morning from good information that it could possibly be a four-team deal with the Warriors and the Cavs, which makes sense because Andre Drummond's contract unlocks a lot for the Heat, and Kelly Olynyk getting rerouted to the Warriors makes a lot of sense. Seti Osman to the Warriors as well. It makes a lot of sense. It kind of incentivizes teams. And by the way, Woj said today with Zach Lowe on ESPN, that it doesn't look like there's any takers for Andre Drummond, and for Cleveland just to get out of that contract so they don't have to buy him out. Chat's disappointed in the news. I thought that was good news.
What did you think? Do you think we were going to be the people
I'm not
going to
say Lowry's coming. I thought that was good news.
What did you think? News.
Yeah, that was good. I don't know. I was proud. I'm not a newsbreaker. I did journalism. I asked other people. What do you mean it was kind of a tease? You guys are bad. I asked other people.
I thought it was, you asked me before the pod. I thought it was good information. It's meaningful. It gives you a little more of a picture about how deep they are in trade talks, that there's four teams involved. It's real, legitimate news. It's credible reporting. I don't know, but also when you see Heat Beat say, we have some news to break, did you really think that we were going to beat Woj to the Lowry trade?
What did we're you so think fucking plugged in.
I want to see the chat say what they thought the news was going to be, because I can't imagine them truly expecting us, Miami Heat Beat, you know, the guys who broke the Juwan Howard move. But other than that,
we did break the Juwan Howard move. Shout out to Leif. Yeah.
Yeah. But since then, we're not the breaking news guys. So I think that's pretty good for us. That's worthwhile information. Yeah.
I thought that was good. Jack, last night was interesting because they get their ass embarrassed by Phoenix, right? And you know, they made DeAndre Ayton look like Rudy Gobert on defense, which was just pretty fucking embarrassing, right? So I think clearly they need a change. That team looked dead, and other than Jimmy, they look like they quit a bit against the Suns. It looked bad. They just had no life. Their shooting is just completely non-existent. They have no solution for switching. It looks bad, and they need something, and this is not, I think it's foolish for people, and I've been a part of that, Jack. Earlier in the season, I said, this team made the finals. This team has a lot of good shooters and a lot of good players. It's really well coached, and I think that they will recreate what they have, and I was wrong, because the shooters are not hitting open shots, and maybe that'll change, but it's more than just guys hitting shots. Goran is just not the same guy, and part of that's injury, and you age more. Tyler did not improve to the player that you kind of hoped he would improve. They still don't have a power forward, right? And I think Ariza's getting his legs under him, but in reality, they don't have one. Precious has just taken a step back entirely, has been absolutely blasted in all his minutes. Just Jack, at times, Precious doesn't look like he should be out there, and we know him to be a good serviceable big. That's been surprising to me.
I don't know. I think it's anything where you have that's the rookie wall for you. Sometimes that happens with rookies where you're not on the level of NBA conditioned players. So during the long NBA season, and this one has been particularly it's been a drudge. It's been kind of rough. And I can't imagine the player's experience of that. Like I, I think it's kind of like normal for an NBA rookie. It's not great. It's not ideal. What the Heat need right now is somebody, anybody to be productive. So when you have a guy hit the rookie wall, it's not good. But like, same thing with Tyler Hero. I'm going to keep saying it again and again.
You're going to bat for this guy.
I'm not the biggest Tyler Hero fan.
I'm
willing to trade him, but that's because I don't think he's like, I've never thought he's like this future multi-time all-star. I think he can be a really good six man in this league. And I think for sure he's going to be a good player in this league, but he did not have, this is not his sophomore season. This is the longest rookie season in NBA history for him. It's unfair to judge him based on his performance this season, especially when you see other guys who are coming off like deep postseason runs, come back into the season and, you know, take step backs, especially if they had COVID or something. Like, it's not surprising. I think everybody has tired legs, which is partially why the shooting's so bad. But I mean, from the Heat's perspective, you still want to win now, and you just can't use that as an excuse. I'm for Kyle Lowry. I'm all into getting Kyle Lowry on the team. I'm fully on the Lonzo Ball train now. I'd rather have Lonzo Ball on this team than Kyle Lowry.
I don't know. Like, I think Lonzo makes sense in a lot of ways, and I think, but I don't think Lonzo would cost you. I understand and what I'm hearing, I don't think Tyler is on the table for Kyle, and I don't think Tyler will be on the table for Kyle Lowry. Just judging from everything that I've heard and how the organization has behaved, I don't think that Tyler Hero is going to be on the table. I think Tyler's only on the table for like a 1A blue chip MVP candidate star. And Kyle is a Hall of Fame point guard, but he is not at this point an all NBA player anymore. He's a very good player. He's a great player who will absolutely swing the title. Like, this, it's very rare that in a trade deadline, like, the title can possibly get decided tomorrow. In the next 24 hours, or less than that, because the trade deadline is at 3 p.m., somebody could get, I mean, that is a title swinging move. And it's rare that you get a guy that good become that available. And with teams that don't have to gut their team, like the Heat would not have to gut their team if it's a package from, you know, what I'm hearing, like something like Precious and Duncan Robinson and some salary filler. You know, if you lose Olynyk or whatever, plus Avery Bradley, who's not playing, or Mo Harkless and all those guys, right? Like, okay, you know, you lose Duncan, that's going to hurt, but you get Kyle. Precious was not giving you a lot. And he's a guy in Toronto that you think that they would fit. They don't have a center at all. Like, it makes sense. So for the Heat, you know, you get a guy that is going to completely change the dynamic of your offense and your defense, because their only weakness on defense is they just don't have guards that can stay in front of everybody, Jack. So yeah. Like, getting a guy like Lowry and not having to give up any of your real, real core pieces other than Duncan, it's like a no fucking brainer.
Yeah. Lowry fixes every single one of their issues. He would completely transform the Heat. I think he would get them to an above average offense. He would give them a significantly better defense. You know, I think he does change the entire math for this team. Conversely, if he goes to the Sixers, there's no way the Heat are winning the East. I think if Lowry goes to the Sixers become the favorite to win the East, and like my favorite to win the title. Like, I think Lowry would transform that Sixers team, make them really incredible. Embiid is having, you know, I don't think he's the front runner for MVP because of health, but he's the second best player in the NBA this year, like point blank. Him and Giannis are 2 and 3. But I mean, going back to that Suns game a little bit, because that's what we were talking about, is disappointing. The Suns are incredible. To that point, something me and Alf talked a little bit about on the pregame yesterday was Chris Paul's having, you know, he's not going to be the MVP, but he's having an MVP type season where like people have talked about him as top five in MVP races. I don't think he is top five, but Sedano does. And Sedano. And if he hears this, he's going to yell at me and call me stupid, which is fair. And that's why we love him. But the point is, Chris Paul's been incredible. And it's not that long ago that Heat fans, including myself, were pretty skeptical about trading for Chris Paul because, you know, there was a contract situation, there was age concerns, health concerns, and stuff like that. And Lowry is not Chris Paul. I don't think he's near Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul's the greatest point guard of all time. But it goes to what I think is a general rule, is you bet on the greats, and you bet on greats specifically like Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul, who are going to age well. Like,
and I've hammered this, yeah, Jack, a lot, like to your point. And I think the Heat, not that they've done this on purpose for Kyle, but they've really had an effort to involve Jimmy in ways in the offense, not as a ball handler. And I think that goes back a little bit to last year, but this year in specific, like, they've used him as a screener a ton for Goran Dragic. And Jimmy and Goran's numbers together, they're outscoring opponents by like 8 or 9 per 100 possessions and minutes that they play together. They're absolutely destroying teams. And Jimmy being a screener as kind of a facilitator for Goran is really good as a roller, as a guy who can give a short roll pass and everything. Kind of quick, not super breaking news, but a little breaking news. Seti Osman is playing tonight for the Cavs. So that's something to monitor, because I've heard that he's, you know, very likely to be moved. Short of he's 100% getting moved, I've been told. So that's interesting that Seti's playing today. And JaVale McGee's also not playing. He's not a scratch. So that's something to monitor, whatever's going on in Cleveland. And in Toronto, Lowry and Norman Powell are playing. So both of the guys that are, and Powell is, I think, almost for sure getting moved. I mean, Woj and Lowe talked at length about that. And I mean, he's a really good player that'll fetch something. I know that in the beginning, we were kind of talking about how can the Heat kind of finagle, you know, Powell in the deal. And I think that that's just going to be a separate deal at this point, that Toronto's going to find somebody else.
Yeah, I think there's, I know this is going to be all trade talk, but there is like one thing I want to say about the Suns game, which is like, they're now back at 500 after working so hard to like get above 500 to give themselves some breathing room. And it does not look like this team's going to beat the Trailblazers tomorrow. I would be shocked if they beat the Trailblazers.
Well, in a perfect world, you know, a lot of guys are going to be out because they're getting sent to Tampa. They're on a bus to Tampa. So, you know, I actually would pick them in a game where like they're a little gutted because everyone's getting traded and it's like Jimmy and Bam going nuts, knowing that the Lowry recovery's on the way. That'd actually be like an all time like super fun game to watch. Like Dame going up against these guys. I actually would really like that.
That'd be fun. And listen,
there's no secret, Kyle Lowry's my favorite player in the NBA. I've tweeted about this a ton. I've been made fun of a ton on Twitter. So like, this is, you know, to me, I'm beaming. I'm trying to find out all I can. And you know, Jack, I'm a big Duncan guy, but I think we've seen that Duncan and Tyler cannot survive together on the court. And I think that in the bubble, they got away with it a ton because they were just so overwhelming offensively. But if Tyler and Duncan are not, I mean, Duncan was having the greatest spot up shooting season of all time. Nikias Duncan of the Dunker Spot in Basketball News said this a bunch. I mean, there's all sorts of articles and numbers and everything and film that you could watch. I mean, what Duncan did last season was one of the all time grading shooting seasons of all time. And that really just broke the Heat offense wide open. And if he's not going to be that, he's still a very good shooter. He's like 38% on like 9 attempts. It's fucking absurd. He's great. But if he's not like all time great, I don't know how you can justify. And if Tyler's shooting less efficient from three than Russell Westbrook, of all people, that combination plus their defense not being up to snuff, those guys, I don't think Jack can survive together, especially long term. And if you're gonna pay Duncan, because Duncan's a free agent this summer, if you're gonna pay him a lot of money, and if you're gonna keep Tyler Hero long term, that's a tough ask when you have a lot of salary and a lot of equity in your team and two guys that you don't, and they don't even close together a lot of the time.
Yeah. I have a Duncan take that might not be popular, but I think last season's Duncan is a lot closer to what Duncan is going to be like for the foreseeable future than this year's Duncan. I think I don't put any stock in the season, especially with Duncan. I don't put any stock in what I'm seeing from Duncan, because that guy has run more than anybody in the NBA. You cannot tell me his conditioning is good for that. And he was doing that last year too. Like, that
he's run
guy
the most
is
in the NBA.
Tired. He does not have legs right now, and he's still shooting nearly 40% from three. Like, I trust him to get back to at least, maybe not all-time three-point shooter Duncan Robinson, because the scouting report's in on him. It'll be harder to get him open, but at least like playoff Duncan Robinson, where he was nailing open threes almost automatically, and he could hit covered ones too. Duncan, yeah, Woody said it. Duncan doesn't miss games. Duncan has not gotten rest in years. And like the last time he got rest, it was because he wasn't an NBA player. Like that. So
Duncan's played in every game.
I know that's not
season.
Like a useful take for this year, but I do think if you're talking about Duncan for the next 5 years or whatever, like I do think he's a valuable player this year because 39% from three is nothing to like, to shrug at. Like that's good. That's legitimately good. And he'd be valuable if they can keep him in the next 5 years. I trust him to be consistently one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA.
Like, and I was trying to find the numbers, but like, I know that there's metrics that Duncan Robinson has run the most in the league this season. And he's played every game. He's played all 44 games this season. And the dude is involved in every single... I'm so sorry. I'm a little flemmy today. He's involved in every single set that they do. If it's... Watch... I always tell Heat fans, it's a joy to watch him off ball, not just as a guy who's running the maze of screens. He's setting the screens and sprinting full speed to flare and coming back and relocate. It's art. And there's not a lot of dudes that have that motor that can do that, that run so relentlessly and not get tired because he's doing this late in the fourth quarter, right? And they're doing all these actions and he's involved in everything, whether he's screening for Butler or, and I know that I sound like a broken record on this podcast, the screening in their inverted sets, whether it's Horns, whether it's Pistol, whether he's back screening, whether like he just does so much in the offense and he moves so much. It's insane. And I would be sad, Jack, to go for him to go. I love him. I love watching him play. Chat saying crown the kid and chat saying Duncan's still a defensive liability. He's improved a lot. Like I mean, again, in a playoff series against a guy like LeBron, against one of these like alpha wings, he's going to be the soft spot in the defensive lineup all the time. There's no question about it. But like he's not going to get killed by like, you know, your fifth option every night. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Tiff in chat says it's not the running. It's the fact that my man is playing defense. He's literally trying on every possession. He is. And that's exhausting. And I think that's affected the shooting. I think his focus on defense has affected his legs and his shooting. I think, Jack, if you look, his shots are short a lot. Yeah. They're short more than they're long. That's a factor. And I, you know, it sucks, but they just don't have the horses this season to play the way they need to. If they were to magically acquire another guard that can handle and run offense and play defense a little bit, I'm sure that, you know, that would take a lot of pressure off Duncan, but that's not the situation that he has. And if he has to go, it sucks, but that's what has to be done. This team needs to get better. They're in win now mode. Jimmy Butler does not have all day. Goran Dragic certainly does not have much time left. I mean, they're good enough to win now.
Yeah. I think that is kind of my point with Duncan and Hero and guys, which is I'm for trading them. I think, you know, you're trying to win now. You can't have any excuses this year. It doesn't matter why they're underperforming, but they are underperforming. I think the thing I'm more so saying is if you're a fan of Hero, like regardless of his affiliation with the Heat, if you're a fan of Duncan, regardless of his affiliation with the Heat, which I am, I'm going to root for Duncan wherever he goes. I'm going to watch Hero sometimes. But with Duncan, a lot of people talk about his contracts too. I don't know if he's going to command like the 18 to 20 million that everybody talks about. I just don't know, given the season, what people are going to pay for him. You know, he's a shooter. You never know. People have extra money. Sometimes they'll throw it around. People always hold up the Joe Harris contract, but Duncan Robinson, is not Joe Harris. Like, I'm sorry.
Joe Harris is a very good defender, by the way.
Is a really good player. Like, Duncan Robinson is not Joe Harris. Like,
I jumped the gun a bit. Robinson. I said Duncan was better than Joe Harris at the beginning of the season. I was told
he was better last year than Joe Harris.
Listen, I jumped the gun.
But, like, Joe's I think really it was good. A fair assumption to make because he was just coming off one of the greatest three-point shooting seasons of all time. So it was a fair assumption to say that he's better than Joe Harris. But right now, he's not better than Joe Harris. Bertans is a way better comparison, I think. But the point that they need to get better
moves.
Now.
Duncan moves more than Duncan's a much better mover than Bertans. And
Duncan's better than Bertans, but, like, somebody compared it to the Bertans deal, I think they'll get similar deals. I think you're looking for a comparison, don't look to Joe Harris, look to somebody closer to Bertans. A lot of people in the chat have been saying Ellington to Miami. I do think that'd be an awesome reunion. He's another guy who, like, I mean, he had an incredible 3-point shooting season with Miami. He's always going to be a great 3-point shooter. If they can replace the shooting, you got to get rid of Duncan.
Chat's saying, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but chat saying, only Ricky saying Oubre being shopped just came out. For people that just joined the chat, that's what we kind of opened the show with, how Golden State I heard that the Warriors could be involved in this 4-team deal with the Cavs, the Heat, and the Raptors. And, you know, Oubre going to Cleveland was something that I was told makes some sense. Olynyk to the Warriors, Seti Osman to the Warriors. So, there's smoke, there's fire. I'm just saying, you know,
I will say there was another report about Lonzo where it was basically the Pelicans will give you Lonzo if you take either Steven Adams or Bledsoe, who are on inflated deals. And I don't understand why the Heat would not jump on that, because if you don't have to give up Duncan or Hero to get those guys, like, if you can get, I don't know. I like Steven Adams. I like Bledsoe. They're decent players. I don't mind overpaying some people. I don't care about the cap. I think that would be a much more impactful move in the long term. I don't know if Lowry puts them over the Nets if they're healthy. Chumbucket said, Bledsoe is atrocious. He hurts whatever team he's on. But, like, Adams. Who cares? You're getting Lonzo Ball for free, basically. Like, you cannot play him. And, like,
so I don't know. Yeah, what I'll say, what Jack.
I'll pay Lonzo Ball $20 million next season. Only Ricky in the chat.
I haven't looked at the cap permutations, but I can say this. The Heat are going to be very close to the luxury tax, and especially when they re-sign. Lonzo's going to be about an $18 million player. He's a restricted free agent, and like, taking Lonzo and Adams puts you into tax situations. And if they use their full mid-level exception, now we're talking about a hard cap that the Heat would be facing. So the Heat have a tricky thing to navigate because they can't take too much salary.
I stopped myself.
The Heat have to be very careful with how they approach this offseason. Now, they're going to have some cap space. Not a max slot, but I think it's around like $18 million or something. I've done the numbers, and I don't know, depending on what gets traded, that changes. But, you know, they can feasibly sign Lonzo into their cap space, maybe go a little over, kind of take that Steven Adams contract and still has room for the full mid-level exception, which when you use your full MLE, you are hard capped. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Also, a sign and trade also hard caps you. So if they do any kind of sign and trade in the offseason, that would also trigger the hard cap. So that's just something to monitor. And I think, you know, they don't want to be in repeater tax. And I think they were, what, a year or two ago, they were a tax team. So they want to avoid kind of being every other year or whatever. So that's it. Chat Woody, 1547. Bobby Mark said that the Miami has $21 million in cash. Okay, yeah, that depends on cap holds and what they do and everything. It depends on the cap.
But you got to read this comment, the Schmeathen Schmolnik comment. He said, Eric Bledsoe shooting 36.4% from three. That'd be second on the Heat right now. That's upsetting.
That's like about what Andre shoots, right? I think, isn't that what Iguodala shoots?
Yeah, Iguodala. I want Iguodala. I want Bledsoe.
I mean, I would love Bledsoe more than Adams. I mean, I kind of want to put a bookmark in this because I do want to talk about what Leif of Five Reasons Sports, Greg Sylvander, reported, tweeted at about 6:30. In addition to briefly investigating the cost of Dinwiddie in Brooklyn, Miami has also inquired about Orlando's Terrence Ross, per sources. So far, the Heat have included mainly non-core pieces similar to the previous reported offers for Dinwiddie. So that's like the Mo Harkless, Avery Bradley, Kendrick Nunn type kind of contract-ish thing. Maybe the 2022 second-round pick. And by the way, that second-round pick sucks. It's like the least favorable between a Philly and a Denver swap. So I mean, that pick sucks, but whatever. It's a second round pick. They traded four for KZ Okpala. So their last second round pick is the 2022 pick. So that's something to look at. Ross would be really nice on this team. I mean, like, if they strike out on Lowry, and I'm feeling better about Lowry than I did this morning. Because I feel good. I feel a lot. I know that generally has been a little doom and gloom. I feel pretty good. I feel better about it than I did before from everything I'm hearing. But if they don't get Lowry, you, Jack, you know I'm not an Oladipo guy. I think Ross is somebody that helps their shooting a ton. Like Duncan is a very, very good relocator. He could kind of play the wing spot a little bit if you need it in a pinch. Why are you making that face? Why are you mad at me?
Are you about to tell me you'd rather have Terrence Ross than Victor Oladipo?
Yeah. I'd rather have Oladipo, but, you know, obviously Depot's a better player.
You've been trying to piss me off with this bullshit all day. I can't handle it. Frankie's saying some things in the chat that I'm not going to
getting
mention.
A random scrub heat killer away from the Heat, that's the move. They did that with Wayne Ellington, and it worked out great for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ross would be great for this team. I think, you know, that Ellington situation is what you want to see. Ross is 36% from three, which is not super, but better than what Miami is working with. That's true. I mean, basically the same thing with Bledsoe, like, you know, shooting a little worse than Bledsoe, I guess, from three. I think Ross is good. I think he'd be really like a nice addition for them. I don't know if he's like a huge game changer. So
no, he's a margin.
It kind of depends. If Ross to me is a supplementary move.
Chat's like, so mad at me because I'm so out on Depot that chat's mad at me because I mentioned the Terrence Ross. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry.
I love Depot. I do think Depot is like a risky move.
You're I didn't say Ross help. Over Depot. I said Depot over Ross. Stop doing this to me, chat. Stop. I
you,
just said
you literally
Ross.
Said Ross.
I know. Over I Depot. Take it back. I took it back. That was emotional. And you know, I have a weird relationship.
You're just
with
trying
Depot.
To piss me off. It's only to
I
piss
try
not
like
off.
Chat. I'm just trying to get Jack mad. Jack's an Indiana graduate. Yeah. He's an IU grad, and I just like the. Ball
I'm a Hoosier. That. Go Hoosiers. Brad Stevens to IU. We've got this.
Do you really want Brad Stevens?
No, I want Tom Crean back. If I'm being honest, I really want Tom Crean back at IU. I really miss him. I thought we should have never fired him. And now I get to say I'm right on that. But we're not going to do IU talk. That's for the Heat pregame show. That's for the Weird Al pregame
show. Ross over Depot is some Heat Reddit type BS.
Depot, like, greatly helps their defense. Depot, I think, turns them into a scary defense, which if you want to beat the Nets, like, you're going to need that kind of defense. Offensively, it's a risky move. He's looked pretty inconsistent. Dicey. Sometimes he looks really good. Sometimes he looks not great. You're betting on health long term. I think as a third option, he would look really good on this Miami team. He's not going to put you over. I don't think he puts you in the NBA finals unless he like starts looking like he did before the injuries. But honestly, I want to ask you this. Do you think Lowry is – sorry, I'm looking at the camera now. Do you think Lowry puts them over the Nets? Do you – like a healthy Nets team, do you think they can win the finals with Lowry? I think they but I think they're severe underdogs.
Let's be practical here. We have not seen what that Nets team looks like because Durant hasn't played. And I think on paper, you go with the Nets because the Nets are going to be able to – have what could be the best offense of all time, right? And the way Harden's playing and Durant, listen, Durant, I don't think people understand, like, Durant doesn't need the ball in his hand, right? Durant as a screener is deadly. Like the way that, I mean, just from the elbow running handoffs, like that guy is like fucking terrifying everywhere on the floor, right? And if he runs pick and roll with Harden, and if he's playing four or five, because they will play him at center, and if they're running Harden Durant pick and roll, good fucking luck. Like you literally stand no chance. I mean, maybe one of the best chances you have is Lowry and Bam defending that, or Jimmy and Bam defending that. That's as good as a chance as anybody in the league. But you know, it's tough. I mean, that's a super team. But you listen, Jack, the Houston Rockets went at, they were a couple missed threes away from beating the Juggernaut Warriors. I mean,
more than
you
a
know,
couple.
I mean, they missed a lot of open ones. But, I mean, they were right there. They were at the 2-yard line. And if, you know, you can't look at a team and be like, oh, that team has a lot of starts. That's scary. Fuck that. You're the Heat. You're a fucking historical organization with an all-time great head coach. You have the meanest, toughest motherfucker in the league in Jimmy Butler. And you have Bam, who is a fucking alien on defense. Like, legit an alien. Like, what he does is absolutely insane. The fact that they have an elite defense when Kendrick Nunn and Goran Dragic and Tyler Hero play significant minutes on this team is fucking asinine. Like, Bam and Jimmy are just gods on that end. So I think when you get Lowry, you count on, okay, our defense is going to be absolutely fucking amazing because we don't have to switch everything anymore. We can play more traditional drop. We can switch when we need to. We don't have to over switch. It's also going to help our rebounding. Jimmy doesn't have to fly in and out of the lane like just fucking Superman every possession. And you have a point guard that can stay in front of guys and you're not bleeding threes from the corner anymore because, you know, you don't have to over help. That's what I'd say. I'd say I don't know if they're favorites, but they have the best chance because they can switch 1 through 5. They can legitimately switch 1 through 4. I guess you don't allow around 5, whatever. They can switch most stuff. They can switch most off-ball stuff. And if you remember in that Rockets series, what did the Rockets do to muck up the Warriors? You switch, you force them into isolation, and you kill the ball movement. And if you force into isolation, and if you help and recover, as we know that Heat can do at an elite level, I think you give yourself more than a puncher's chance to win. So if they get Lowry, I think firmly second in the East. I'm not scared of the Bucks. I'm not scared of the Sixers. I'm not scared of those. Yeah. The Jimmy Butler's going to lose this guy. The Sixers are a good team. They're really good. And so are the Bucks. But I just think Miami would have absolutely.
If they have Lowry, I think Lowry gives them easily a top 15 offense, which is way better than they have now. They have a really bad offense right now. They've had a really bad offense all year. They'll get above average really quick. I think if they get a shooter too, they'll have a top 10 offense. I know that's an insane thing to say given how their offense looks, but like that's how much I trust Lowry to fix all of their little issues. I do think Marco on Twitter today brought up something about the Joe Johnson trade and how much that radically improved Miami's offense. Like that switched them to a team hovering around like, you know, even in net rating to a team that was like firmly in the plus with a really good, like a incredible offense. Lowry is way better than Joe Johnson, even though Joe Johnson shot ridiculous from three that year until that the playoffs. But yeah, that season was really fun. But Marco's point was like, do not underestimate what like one seemingly small single player move can do for entire team.
Which is
Jay Crowder. This team is so close. They have a lot of really good pieces, but there is just one or two things missing that keeps them from like meshing on offense. And like, they need a guy who can pressure the rim. They need, you know, a three-level scorer. I'm just stealing all of Marco's takes right now, but
my takes too. Damn it.
But no, but the point is, I think Lowry radically changes this offense. They would need to find a shooter if they're giving up Duncan, because they will still have a problem with shooting, especially if they're also giving up Olynyk. Like that is a legitimate problem because those are their shooters right now. And okay, like so maybe you can get Ross too or somebody small. I don't know who Ellington. We'll see.
A couple things before I address some of the questions in chat about how the trade would work. So if they do get Lowry, I know that it was reported that Redick to the Nets was, you know, pretty likely as a buyout guy. I think if they lose Duncan, I think they'd, and again, this is not reporting. I'm not reporting this. This is me speculating, but I do think that if they lose Duncan, I think that he could and should be aggressive for JJ Redick. They still have the biannual exception that they can offer. And that's a guy that has a lot of respect for this organization and I think has been well documented. So like if they do get Lowry and if they're like a shooter away, that I don't think that JJ Redick to the Nets is as like done as like maybe people think. That would change the trajectory of it. The things that the Heat need the most in their offense is a downhill threat and a shooter. And Lowry is both of those. And by the way, a guy that can score in isolation, because the Heat are like one of the fewest isolation teams in the league. They run it very little. Bam is like an incredible isolation scorer, never goes to it. And I know that the Heat have largely fixed their like really bad turnover problem, but you know, sometimes it's nice to clear out and to run a little isolation. It gets your guys to rest a little bit when they just get to stand in the corners. And when you have guys like Ariza and these guys that are just like parked in the corner, you know, it helps. You can do more of that kind of simplistic offense when you don't have to run a super complicated set as Miami runs all the time. So Lowry, you know, can fit that bill, can play with Jimmy, and he can play both. He can play the handoff really well as well. Like Miami doesn't have to change a lot of their offense. The other thing that somebody in chat asked is like, if the Heat want to keep Iguodala, how do they make this trade work? And that's why the 4-team deal, which we talked about at the top of the show, makes sense. And that's why Andre Drummond's contract is important in this. and like the Oubre move and the Sadie Osman and all that stuff matters, right? Like, so they don't have to, they don't have, they can give up some of those smaller contracts and they don't have to get to the $24 million for Lowry. And I've seen versions of the trade. Some of them have the Heat. I've seen like three or four versions. Like one of them is he get Lowry and McGee. Cavs get Bradley, Harkless, Oubre, Looney, Nunn. Raptors get Drummond, Robinson, Achiuwa. Warriors get Olynyk and Seti Osman. Like there's ways to make this happen, right? And that works in the trade machine. And I think that also works without McGee, which the Heat would not want to be in the luxury tax. So there's ways to get this done. And I think that they're close. And I think we're going to find out probably tomorrow, probably. This is going to go to the buzzer. I saw that Laker report was really fucking funny. Like the Lakers in on the Lowry thing when all they can really offer is KCP, like a 2027 first and then Dennis Schroeder's contract and then maybe THT. Like that's a poo-poo platter of fucking, I mean, that's so manufactured by the organization noise. It's funny. And like, I don't know. That's fun. I love this time. There's so much bullshit that's coming out on the news every day.
Did you see Jack, that poll that Sedona's radio show put up about would you give up?
What was it?
It's would you want crap? I'm gonna forget who the player was. Was it would you want Kyle Lowry if you had to trade Taylor THT?
And are Laker fans that I'm going to Sedona's
60% no. Maybe it wasn't Lowry.
Sedona, what the fuck are you doing?
I think he was trolling. Okay, here, I found it. No, it wasn't Lowry. It's actually even worse. Okay. ESPN Los Angeles tweeted out, would you trade for Miles Turner if the Lakers had to let go of Talen Horton Tucker? 64% said no. It's Miles fucking Turner. Like, that's a really good player, and that's a young player. And oh, my God.
That's horrible.
Fuck THT. THT? Fuck THT. Sounds like-
Some people in chat are at, okay, so Kevin O'Connor says, sources of the New York Knicks has emerged as a serious potential destination for Cavalier big man Andre Drummond. Okay, that would be bad for the Heat. We don't want that to happen. I think Drummond is pretty important in this three or four team deal. So, you know, that would suck. Let's hope that doesn't happen. I still think they can get it done without Drummond. I'm going to have to get on the phone when we get off the pod, but... that is interesting. Woj was pretty confident that he wouldn't get moved or that he didn't have many suitors. So that's interesting. Some people in chat, Jack, were asking like, what are they going to do for a big man, especially if they move Olynyk and Achiuwa? I think at that point, fat boy LaMarcus Aldridge becomes important to what they do.
Fuck you with this fat boy shit. I love LaMarcus Aldridge.
Why do you love LaMarcus Aldridge? That guy sucks.
I really liked that Portland team. I really liked LaMarcus Aldridge.
He did it. He did, and all he did was ruin it. If you like that Portland team, you shouldn't like him.
He was a really fun player to watch. I love, like, I don't know. I loved that kind of player. Like, that was, like, when I started watching basketball really heavily. There were a couple team players that were not on the Heat that I, like, really, like, got attached to, and one of them was Sixers Iguodala. And the other one, like,
I love Sixers Iguodala.
Sixers Iguodala is one of my favorite players of all time. Aldridge, like, I really liked those Portland teams. I don't know, like, sue me. Zhang would be, I would rather have Zhang than LMA, but it seems like the Heat are
Gorgui Zhang would be fucking so good. That's
good for them.
That's too good. I'm not too concerned about like what their big man situation is going to be. I think at the end of the day, the Heat's the best version of the Heat is Bam at the five with a wing at the four. And if that's Trevor Ariza, that's Trevor Ariza. The best version of themselves is going to be that.
And especially Jimmy helps the rebounding.
Yeah. Like, especially if I think Lowry would help their rebounding a ton too. I mean, he's a really good. I mean, like, and I think the rebounding would just get better naturally because they don't have to overswitch. And the reason why the Heat overswitch is because their guards can't stay in front of everybody. So literally your best chance to contain a dribble penetration is Bam switching onto a guard. We saw it yesterday. Precious was getting switched onto Chris Paul all the time.
Yeah, you made that point in the chat yesterday that basically if they had Lowry, he'd be able to handle the book assignment and you just wouldn't have that problem. I mean, like... that's been the biggest criticism of Bam this year. I know Nikias has harped on that a lot. A lot of people say, oh, he's not aggressive enough. But the biggest criticism of him legitimately is that he's been over switching, which is not his fault. It's purely a result of personnel, like you said.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And like, he would look so much better and it would maximize him on both ends of the floor if he doesn't have to basically guard the entire opposing offense. Like, I think that would help him look a lot better on offense. And I think that would like help him look a lot better on defense. Some people said slow-mo, would they like to have Kyle Anderson? I love Kyle Anderson, would really like him on this team. I do think LaMarcus Aldridge seems like a foregone conclusion, which I think will be nice. I think like that will get them, like, especially in the regular season, that'll get them some easy offense, just like get them some like pick and pop stuff. Like, I think you can't really go wrong with an extra guy who can get buckets. I want bucket getters on this team.
My source just told me if the Warriors are involved, they don't need Drummond in the deal. So if that's so, the Drummond leaving doesn't impact the Miami deal. So that's something to watch out for. Okay, look at that. Answering text messages. Let's go. Yeah, so I mean, like, that's kind of their, that's their deck. That's the hand that they're dealt this season. And Jack, I guess let's talk doomsday before we go. We're running on time. If the starting lineup on Thursday is Kelly Olynyk, Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Duncan Robinson, how are we feeling?
Not good. You got to get something done, even if it's a marginal move. You cannot.
If it's what about
the thing? Boy? If that happens, sit Bam and Jimmy for the rest of the season. Like, I'm serious. Like, if nothing happens at all, like, you don't get anything done. Like, do you want to repeat that trade again? People are asking.
Oh, what trade? The really big one?
Whatever you just said. I also wasn't listening. So,
I had said earlier, Heat get Lowry. Cavs get Bradley, Harkless, Oubre, Looney, Nunn. Raptors get Drummond, Duncan, Precious. Warriors get Olynyk, Osman. My source said that they could still make that work without Drummond. I would have to sit in front of a trade machine and actually like figure this out. Look at some contracts, hit up Spotrac, open the spreadsheets. But we're good. We move. We're good. I don't know. I feel good, Jack. I feel good. If they don't make a move, that's going to be funny. There's going to be a lot of angry fans. I'm glad that the Heat don't really have a lot of fans in the building, because that starting lineup might just get booed.
I think you can't waste health on that. Like, I would legitimately just say, sit everybody. Like, you're not going to make it past the second round. You might not, like...
I mean, no, you have to try. Get the fuck out of here. No, you try. You figure out your shooting. You do something.
And trying is getting personnel before the deadline. You have to.
I mean, they're trying. I mean, God,
they don't get anybody,
Jennifer,
they're not
trying. He's
trying. No, but if they don't get anybody, I don't care if they don't get Lowry. That's understandable. They're not completely in control.
They got Ariza. They did something. Not enough.
Come on. They would have to give me at least LaMarcus Aldridge, Terrence Ross, Wayne Ellington. I think if they came away and they just got Wayne Ellington, like, I think that would be a sneaky big move. Like,
it would not be a sneaky big move. That would not be a sneaky big move.
They would get better than you think. I don't think they would be top of the East. The offense would improve a lot just by having
not
two
a lot.
Shooters.
It would improve a little because he's just
you would
not
have two
be a,
shooters.
Your defense
and he's
is
the man
die.
With the golden arm. He's the man with the golden arm. He has a golden arm. But I think, like, if they don't get Depot, they're not really trying. I think they have Depot if they want him.
Chat's asking what it will take to get Depot. I'm not plugged in on that. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it seems.
I'm gonna be frank
what
with y'all.
Is the Rockets are trying to get more leverage because they don't like what the Knicks and the Heat are offering. But like, I think they're gonna cave. I don't know. Like,
why are you gonna buy someone a drink at the bar that you know wants to go home with you? That's what I'm asking about Depot. Why would you buy the person at the bar a drink when you know that they want to go home with you?
Because you're nice. You're kind.
You think Pat Riley's nice?
You like to do nice things for people. Drinking alone is no fun. You know, lots of reasons.
You can drink alone on Hangover Time or a post-game show after every single Heat game. Check out Alf954, Heat Twitter president hosting. It's a lot of fun. Tomorrow we have Alex Dono and Tito, producer extraordinaire. Trade deadline
I'm on
special.
That.
You're on that too. Jack's on that. I'm not on that. I'm banned from Hangover Time on many occasions. Yeah, chat just said I murdered chivalry. I made it gender neutral. Listen, we are. This is not a gendered experience. You know, you person at the bar. You know, you buy it. You know, this is not. Don't put that on me. I'm excited. This is a fun time of year. I love it. I appreciate chat for coming out. Oh, you want to make fun of the Celtics really quick?
Yeah, for what?
I love making fun of the Celtics. Did you see that Woj said today that teams are like not sure whether or not to take the Celtics seriously because they like never trade?
That's funny.
I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That's good. I don't know who they would get. Like, they don't really.
Oh, Barnes, but they're in.
Barnes. Yeah, they've wanted Barnes for a while, but that's not really. Nothing's really progressed there. Aaron Gordon would be interesting, but that's not the team I want to see. As an Aaron Gordon fan, I'm not an Aaron Gordon fan. I don't know what. Why is that?
They're almost.
But as somebody who wants to see Aaron Gordon be good, I don't think the Celtics are the team to make Aaron Gordon look good.
No, I think he'd fit there. I think he would give them something of what Gordon Hayward gave them as a guy who can. I mean, he can't run a ton of pick and roll or something, but as a guy who can kind of play some power, eat some power forward minutes. They don't have.
Do they run Jack, enough? Do they run enough? I don't think the Celtics run as much as I want a team that like. I want the team I want Gordon Lasers. On is the 7 seconds, 7 seconds or less Suns.
He'd Let's be great. I like him on the Blazers. If we can
on
get
the Blazers, that'd be really Blazers. Fun. Denver, I would really like, but I don't think Denver's being like cowards right now. They need
Denver's
to make
being a
trade.
Real Danny Ainge's over there.
They're really pissing me off as somebody who's Denver's like my second team. I love Jokic for MVP. If he doesn't win MVP this year at this rate, I'm
Gordon
be
to the
off.
Mavs. I like
Did you
that
hear
a lot.
Kevin Harlan yesterday. Harlan was like listing MVP candidates and he's like, oh, well, it's not a clear race because like everybody's injured. And it's like, it's a clear race. There's one guy who hasn't been injured and it's Jokic.
And it's Giannis.
The clear front runner.
No, it's Giannis.
But he also named it's Giannis and Jokic. That's one and two, like clear one and two. It's not like a runaway race or it's not like a murky race. We know Jokic is like clearly ahead of the pack and Giannis is having an amazing season, but Giannis won't be able to win like a third MVP like that. But like he mentioned Donovan Mitchell before he mentioned Jokic, which is ridiculous because Donovan Mitchell is not even the best player on his own team.
I hate that take. That's such an NBA Twitter take to say that Rudy Gobert is better than Donovan Mitchell. I hate that
He is
that
better
take.
Than Donovan
no,
Mitchell.
No, he's not. That shit's so...
Come
no,
on. He's
guys.
Better than
I
Donovan
hate that
Mitchell.
Take. I listen, I hate that take. I don't like when people say Rudy's
I don't
not
like
good,
Rudy Gobert, but like...
No one likes Rudy Gobert.
He's a better player. I think the fact that Rudy Gobert is their best player is why they're going to get exposed in the playoffs because Rudy Gobert is the ultimate beat up on little guys thing. He
I want the
plays
Warriors
awful.
To get them
Embiid
in the first round.
And Jokic fucking own Gobert. They own Gobert. He's a fucking bum. I agree.
Chats,
Donovan Mitchell is not an MVP candidate. Come the fuck on.
Like, no, he's not. It's Jokic.
Not even
and
close.
It's
he's
Jokic
not even.
And
a, I would not put Mitchell in the top 10 for MVP.
I think Giannis is going to win again. I think LeBron's obviously.
I don't think Giannis is
going to
win
gonna
again.
Play
Jokic deserves it. Jokic has
no,
been the
Giannis
best player in the NBA.
No, Giannis is better on both ends.
Fuck Giannis. Can't win in the playoffs. This is bullshit. Jokic is the GOAT. He's the greatest offensive big man of all time. Giannis, he's going to choke again. You need Drew Holiday
against,
to
I,
get
I picked
past
the Heat
the
against
second
the Bucks, especially if the Heat got Lowry. I picked the Heat in five, not even memeing. Heat in five. Like I cannot stress to you guys enough how good I think that they're going to be if they get Kyle Lowry. And I think if they get Kyle Lowry, they're going to be in the market for more buyout guys. It's fun. Yes, Marco in chat saying, oh my God, gee, yes, a Dubs Jazz series. I would go straight to Vegas and put money on it. That'd be so funny. I'm telling you, just to see Rudy Gobert like running around in circles chasing Steph Curry around screens would be fucking hilarious. I want that so bad.
That'd be good.
Listen.
Here's why I don't think he's going to win MVP is that, like, what we got here Giannis? In the chat. Like, the Giannis, like, they're not going to give him a third MVP. Like, that's just not going
to
happen.
They have to. He deserves it.
He doesn't deserve it more than Jokic.
If they get, hold on, now let me ask you something. If the Heat get Lowry and if they go on a fucking run, Like, if the Heat go on a fucking run and they rip off, like, I don't know, 20 of 25 or some shit like that, or 18 of 25, something crazy. And Jimmy puts up numbers like he did in that 12 and 1 stretch. Does Jimmy get back in the conversation, like, legit? I think he does.
I think he'll be in the conversation.
If the Heat, like, just fucking, they have a really easy schedule left. If they get Lowry and if they fucking take off, like I think they do, and they have a really soft schedule, and Jimmy's just tearing to shreds the whole East.
I was joking about the Jokic take. I was obviously Dirk, Olajuwon, Jabbar, like all of these guys are better on offense.
I just let you slide.
But Jokic is going to be in the conversation.
I let you slide on that.
I was joking.
Chat's right for calling you out on that. I let it slide.
I was joking. He is like one of the all-time great passing big men. Like, I think he's going to go down as the greatest passing big man of all time. I think if he stays healthy, that's like, he's an all-time great passer. He's so fucking
Hayden CB3 in chat says we're shooting 20 free throws a game if they get Lowry. That's another thing that the Heat suck at. The Heat suck at getting free throws. Like, they have two guys that do it, and like literally nobody else gets to it, like, at all. Like, Tyler does not get to the line as much as he should, especially as like a third creator on the team. Goran just doesn't anymore, and that's not his fault. I mean, that's what do you expect out of Goran at this point in his career? So that's another thing. Another thing that Kyle gives you is kind of gets you in transition a little bit. The Heat have a pretty decent transition offense. I think they're like, you know, solidly top 10 last time I checked, points per possession in fast break situations. He would help settle the Heat don't get easy shots. They don't get anything at the rim. They're one of the fewest field goal attempts at the rim teams in the league. They miss open threes. They don't get free throws, and they don't score off opponent turnovers. And I think when Kyle is spearheading a fast break and Jimmy doesn't have to handle in it, that changes it. You have a guy who can throw a really nice lob. It's not just Goran and Jimmy really the only lob throwers. And Bam, funny enough, like their offense just changes so dramatically. I cannot stress this enough. I am so excited for the time to come. We are not going to keep you here more, chat. We love you. What a great success. I mean, this is one of our listen, we put up hangover time numbers today, baby. You know, let's go.
Show did well too. It's everybody loves transaction talk. And I just want to say to the chat, you're the problem. You're part of the problem. Me? NBA talk, not you, G. The chat is part of the problem. Everybody watching because of transaction talk. You're part of the problem. No, I'm going to scold you right now. The NBA is transaction obsessed, and there's no real love for the on-court product, and that's why people don't know that Jokic is the obvious.
Don't
MVP.
Lecture our audience. Fuck you.
No, I'm going to lecture you guys. You're worse than me. If you were better than me, you'd be on this show. Sorry. Listen to Heat Beat. I love you guys, but I am going to scold you and make you feel bad for watching. So want more of that, watch the Weird Al pregame show 30 minutes before tip-off.
Schmiedin says everyone's here for the disappointing breaking news. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.